Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Yes, we delve into another segment of the human condition as we begin a series on what's called the fruits of the Spirit from the New Testament book of Galatians. In chapter 5, the Apostle Paul urges the Christian community to adopt these kinds of characteristics: love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's where we're heading, devoting time to each of these character traits over the next few weeks ahead. And because the first one, love, is, well, love, and love is all around, as we've already heard tonight, and it's so huge. For the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at three specific aspects of love with our human condition guru, clinical psychologist Lynn Worsley. This week, the stages of love, then next week, attachment in love, and then finally, intimacy. Lynn, hi.
Hi, Lynn.
We missed you last week.
Yes.
It's great to have you.
I got stuck in Melbourne too, I'd like to
say. As with a few other people. It's great to see you. Thanks so much for coming in. You actually say there are three stages of love. Take us through those.
Okay. Now, when we look at the three stages, there are many theorists and scientists that would talk about the three stages of love, and sometimes they call them different names. Sometimes they talk about them from a chemical perspective, so the chemistry of love and the changes in the brain and the neurotransmitters and so on.
Yeah.
But there are other theorists who would talk about the deepest stages of love, and I think that's what I'll probably concentrate on tonight. The scientific and the chemical stages of love, that leads to attraction and attachment. So we'll talk about that next week. But I thought it'd be good to look at the work done by some social researchers. And they've watched and observed people in various stages of love in their love relationships. And I thought that would be interesting, although we're not just talking about people in marriage or partner relationships. We can also talk about people in friendships as well.
Okay.
But this links with the work that's done by those people who study moral reasoning or the development of morality, and some of the work by C.S. Lewis. So this is the first stage that he talks about in particular, but is also supported by other researchers. And the first stage is the honeymoon or the romantic stage.
Yes.
And that's the sort of the in love phase and the feel good, where you feel really, really like you're flying.
And you don't want to eat.
You don't want to eat. Or you eat lots.
Yeah, that's right. I think I might be into that, can you?
The second one is the curiosity stage. This is where the person is much more interesting. And you're curious about them. You want to know a bit more about them. And you admire them and almost get to idealize them. And then thirdly, this is a sacrificial and very deep, long-lasting stage, or long-lasting love. And it's not often seen in relationships that we see unless they've been together for a very long time. And this is where you go beyond yourself and what you want out of the relationship. But what's interesting is the other person's growth and their development.
Which is a very significant phase to get to.
Yes.
So let's get each of these three stages in a bit more detail. First, as you mentioned, romantic, which I think as a bloke, and I'm sure it's very unromantic, typical bloke, to find it interesting, but we might think that there's a bit of a game of love that goes on before the romance thing.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Now, I really enjoy watching teenagers, you know, in a park or in a, you know, a some sort of event, and you watch them sort of flirting and admiring and looking and glancing and
you stalker.
People watcher. We don't call it stalker. I'm a people watcher.
Yes, people watcher.
But this is like our putting yourself out there, you know. I'm like a pigeon or a peacock. I'm fluffing my feathers so that she likes me or he likes me. But what happens then is that you actually start feeling good about yourself because you're putting yourself on show. And then when she looks at you or he looks at her, the more that she likes and the more that you actually start to like yourself. So it's actually a bit of a cycle of that before the actual romance.
Mm. So what are the things that are going to aid romance, tell us blokes, or enable it to develop and flourish?
Okay, what will aid romance is to actually start focusing on the other person.
That's interesting. Yeah.
So if you actually look at the other person and you see yourself developing a sense of integrity and care for the other person, even if it's your own pride or your ego to start with, that actually will help you romance.
Okay.
I often use that term in counselling, and I consider the relationship as a bit of a learning tool for each other. So if you actually want to aid romance and develop it more, then you need to get into their space. And one of the key things is actually to be into their space and learn how to reflect back and share what it is you've heard and you've listened.
But to genuinely do it.
To
genuinely
do it.
That's the thing, because there are some who might try and put that on for a while to kind of snare the prize.
Yes.
When they might not necessarily
be. Yes. And generally people are aware of that. You know, if you really are being a little bit like it's all about me, it won't be terribly romantic.
No.
So, but the other thing is actually being vulnerable.
Okay.
If you want to be romantic, it is often the hardest thing to do. But if you want to aid the romance, is actually be vulnerable yourself. Share your feelings and share how the other person makes you feel. And that is very romantic. But the key to the romance is to actually be really open about each other. And that open space means you've shared an intimacy which is very deep. And that becomes exciting.
Even to the point of vulnerability.
That's right.
I think it's maybe it's important in the very early stage of this not to appear so keen. I heard a story just this week. I heard one woman advise a bloke after his first date. He was off to buy his date a birthday present after just one date. And his female colleague said, no, too early, too keen.
Yeah, I think I'd depend on the present.
Might give away who it is if I tell you what the present is.
But buying for another person often implies there are strings attached.
Okay, yep.
So you've got to be very careful. If you're buying lots and lots of things and you're smothering a person with buying things. So and that's not necessarily romantic. I mean, women particularly like to have flowers and all that sort of stuff, but I think that the whole buying thing implies that there is more to be expected.
Okay.
So once you've – if you're doing something that is romantic for somebody, it's important to actually be appropriate and be in tune with them. So getting to know what they would like and whether that would be appropriate is probably the most important thing.
Are texts good?
Text messages?
Yeah, can texts be romantic?
It depends on the text, I suppose.
I suppose it does. But I just think, maybe that's something where you can convey, that you're on my mind.
Yeah.
I'm a bit out of practice with this. The flirting stage, I mean.
That's good. I'm glad, Lee. but look, many a times I've seen young people in my room, you know, sitting there and all of a sudden the beeper goes and they just can't leave it alone. They've got to pick it up and see what the text message says because it's some new romance.
Yeah. So I've got to be in tune with the other people.
Being in tune. Being in their space and being in tune.
Yeah. Let's talk about a practical example with each of these stages of love. First, romance. How have you seen that at work, in your work?
Well, when I've seen romance at work, when I've seen that, it is really often about just that whole crush or fling or that overwhelming sense of being in someone else's space and being excited about being with them. And that's a very practical thing. Most of us can identify with that. That romance stage can last for a long, long time in a relationship. And you don't have to lose the romance, but the next stage being curiosity.
Yeah.
Being curious is that's an interesting stage.
I'm curious about this. So how's that play out?
Well, curiosity is really more like when somebody's been admired. So it's almost like when you go from being the romance, it's all about me. The romance is, you know, you make me feel good.
Okay.
I like being in this relationship because it's me. But when you go into the next stage, it's actually because of you. I like this relationship because you are an interesting person and want to know who you are. So I investigate more of you and then I find out more of you that I like. And so I start putting you on a bit of a pedestal for a while. And I think, wow, you're pretty good, and I admire what you say, I listen to what you say, I value what you say. And so that becomes a very deep and long-lasting stage. apart from that too, by being put on a pedestal, the person who is being admired often lives up to that expectation. So they improve and they lift their game and they
feel better. It's a self-fulfilling thing.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And they give it back. So it's a wonderful stage, and I think probably is the majority of that stage is our relationships.
Okay. How long does that kind of stage of love last, the curiosity stage? And are there difficulties when it wears off and the other person is no longer perhaps on the pedestal? Because
yes,
that's always got to
yes.
come.
Yes, and I think this is when a lot of relationships fall apart, is when that curiosity stage turns into a reality stage. That, all right, you're not quite as good as I thought you were. And
done.
And my yeah. goodness, you really are human. I thought you were a bit of a god or a goddess. Yeah. So that's often a bit of a time of a reality check. But this is where real love comes through.
Yes.
And I don't know how long this curiosity stage lasts. Some people don't move to that last stage of love. And that's just how things are. Some people don't have the opportunity in their relationships to do that. But to move through this stage is often, too, being able to hold each other up, being on each other's team, so to speak.
Yep.
And, you know, being the cheer squad for each other. But once the reality hits, it doesn't mean that you lose that being on each other's team. It's a different way of being on each other's team.
Yeah.
In that last stage.
Final stage of love you define as the sacrificial stage. How and when is that going to work?
Well, the sacrificial stage is where it is about not just about you, not just about me. It's about how I can actually help you to be a better you. So it's actually enabling someone to go beyond where they are now. And sometimes that means saying no to them. Sometimes that means in some ways helping them to be more disciplined. It also might mean challenging them. But it also means too taking them to a zone where you might actually have to put your own needs aside or even risk losing them in order to help them to grow.
Which will fly in the face of a really big trend in modern relationships where it is actually all about me.
Absolutely.
And if I'm truly sacrificial, I'm going to be thinking about the other person. As Jesus said, love one another. He didn't say love yourself.
Yeah, that's right. And the closest thing I can think of is God's love. God loves us ultimately, that he sacrificed his son for us. So, you know, we can't beat that. We can't do anything up to that. But what we have is a demonstration of grace and love, and how that plays out in our relationships is that if we love each other in the same way that God loves us, then we will put the other first in such a way that they will grow, and we also will grow in the process of
what
that.
A sacrifice, but what a gift. It is actually,
yeah,
if you're on the receiving end of that.
Just
finally, just quickly, one quick example of how you've seen sacrifice work well, maybe not so well.
Yes, I have a beautiful example.
Good.
I have a lovely man in our church who is, he was speaking, I was actually speaking to a men's group at one point, and he looked around and he said to the men, you know what, you guys are all at the stage where you're looking after your families. And he said, I've gone through that phase where I served my family. I looked after my children and I made sure that they were well nourished, and I got them to school and I did their homework and I helped them with their, you know, loving God. And then they've left home and they're having their own children. And now I've got this time with my wife. And my role now is to grow her. My role is to move her to a zone where she's closer to God. And so what I realized I'm doing is preparing her for the kingdom.
Huh.
And it was just like, oh, all of us with the jaws on the desks. And
I want that man.
Goodness. Yes.
I know.
And then he said, and do you know what? She just loves me back, and I'm getting to be a better man in the process.
Who'd be surprised at that?
And, you know, it was interesting. Three weeks later, she died very suddenly.
Oh, no.
And I relayed it back to him. I said, you know, that conversation is just incredible. Has stuck with me for a long time and till today. And he just said, well, it's just what it was like. And that's interesting that's how we were preparing each other.
Wonderful. So as we said, this is a three-part series of love. Quickly just give us a brief sketch of where we're going next week.
Next week we're going to look at attachment Now, attachment comes with a baby being born, and there's an attachment and chemistries that are associated with that. There's also attachment with how we attach to our parents and how we also attach to our new spouses, our own children. An attachment that comes with love, very deep and deep love, but establishes our connections with people that go for a long time.
As always, I'll look forward to it a lot. Thank you. Thanks so much, Lynn Worsley, for coming in tonight.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.